Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast. I'm Mike Pratz. With me today we have Cray Bolger and Jacob Avila. The paper we'll be discussing today is Point of Care Ultrasonography for the Management of Shoulder Dislocation in the ED by Akyol et al. From the American Journal of Emergency Medicine, published May 2016. Cray, take it away.
So, Mike, as you probably know, and anybody who's worked a recent ED shift, shoulder dislocations are pretty common, and we are very radiology and radiation savvy now and trying to reduce the number of x-rays we get. And usually most people with joint dislocations get at least two x-rays, if not more, depending on how successful we are in the reduction. And so this study is saying, how well is ultrasound compared to these x-rays? And really, can we reduce the number of x-rays we're doing? And can we pick up the complications we're worried about?
I think that's a cool trend in the ultrasound literature that we're seeing. Find something we rely heavily on x-ray for and see if ultrasound can do it better.
Absolutely. And I think MSK is one of those rising fields. In fact, there's a practitioner I've heard lecture several times who works at a community ER, and he says he never orders x-rays on anything anymore. He's much more MSK savvy than I think I will ever be. But this study, what it was actually a prospective study. However, they did use a convenient sample. Two hospitals, one of which was academic, the other community, and anybody over the age of 15 who they thought had a shoulder dislocation based on their exam got enrolled in this study. Now, I will say that the study was performed by pretty heavily trained sonologists. They were attending physicians. They had a 30-minute session plus 2 hours of scanning. And I think that's a really important point. MSK ultrasound is fun, it's useful, and it's fairly easy. However, you have to know the anatomy. And many of us, that was eons ago, and maybe something that we didn't put as much effort into at the time as we probably should have. So you have to learn or relearn your anatomy before kind of voyaging out with MSK ultrasound.
Right, I totally agree. So with these people that they selected with the suspected dislocation, they all got a point of care ultrasound prior to their x-ray and then again after the reduction attempt. So what they were looking for was, compared to the x-ray that was done, how well does ultrasound diagnose the dislocation? And then secondarily, how well can it tell when the reduction is successful? And what I thought was great was that they also used ultrasound to look for all the fractures, because I imagine that would be the main argument people would have against doing x-ray. They would say, well, sure, you can tell it's back in, but are you going to miss all those fractures that may impact the patient's outcome down the line?
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point. That's one of the bigger challenges I've heard to using ultrasound is, what about these fractures? How much do they matter clinically? That's debatable, and that's a whole separate discussion. But I think that's great that the authors actually kind of took on that challenge.
Yeah, so Cray, how did they actually perform this scan?
So they used a linear probe, and they did it in the posterior aspect, finding the scapula and the glenoid and where the humerus was articulating with the glenoid. They slid up and down in a superior to inferior fashion with their probe oriented perpendicular to the scapula and humeral head. And they were looking for the humeral head, and then they wanted to find the joint. And so whether or not the humeral head was appropriately articulating with the glenoid. And so what we'll do is we'll definitely show you pictures of what this is supposed to look like, because that's a huge component of musculoskeletal ultrasound is, here's what I'm finding, but what is it supposed to look like? And comparing and contrasting the two.
Right. Basically, you're just looking for the glenohumeral joint and the humeral head inside that joint. And if you don't see it in there, then you can suspect it's dislocated.
Yep. So some important points about this. It was a convenient sample. The 8 study physicians only performed the ultrasound when they were available, and they were pretty significantly trained in this. Again, MSK ultrasound is great if you're doing it all the time. It's one of those that you really need to keep up your skills, because the anatomy and visualizing normal over and over and over again to have that pattern recognition when abnormal sticks out is extremely important with MSK ultrasound. It's not like a heart where it's super easy to find because it's the big moving thing in the middle of your chest.
Right.
Joints and their normal anatomy are pretty precise.
All right. So I think we've given a bunch of disclaimers, but let's talk about the results because it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So there were 103 patients enrolled, and the point-of-care ultrasound was both 100% sensitive and specific for dislocation. Only 5 of the patients were normal, which I think that's important to discuss at the end, too, is that the physicians who were performing the scan weren't blinded to what the patient's clinical impression, because it's kind of impossible to look at the shoulder and not look at the shoulder.
It seems like they had a pretty good idea if they were dislocated or not, because most of them that they suspected were dislocated were dislocated. Yep.
The other really cool point is the fracture point. So 100% sensitive for fracture and 84.2% specific. They didn't have a high number of fractures, only 9, but that's probably a fairly reasonable number when generalized to all of our shoulder dislocations. Very few actually have concomitant fracture with them. And when they reduced it, 100% specific for confirming reduction. They did have a little bit of a challenge deciding if it was an anterior or posterior dislocation, though I'm not sure how important this point was, as most of ours are anterior and the posterior clinically appear fairly different.
Right. Yeah. So that's pretty impressive. I think if you're going to try to substitute something, if you're going to try to substitute ultrasound in for x-ray, the fact that it's 100% specific and 100% sensitive for dislocation and then also 100% sensitive for fracture, that's a pretty good argument to try to start that practice at least.
I completely agree. You know, like we've already talked about, I think the biggest thing for this is good training. Before you kind of go hanging your hat on this study, which is a great point of care study to be using, make sure you know what you're looking for. You know, this can be as simple as looking at images online and really making sure you're well trained, doing some courses before you go implementing this in your daily practice for sure.
Yeah, and you can just start by trying it on patients that you're going to get an x-ray anyways and see how accurate you can start to be. And at least that way you'll get a feel for what the joint looks like when it's normal and what it looks like when it's dislocated.
Absolutely.
And now let's hear Jacob's take. Jacob?
I don't have too much to add for this one. It's a pretty simple study. Can ultrasound diagnose shoulder dislocation, shoulder fractures, and reductions? For me, the major finding was that it's really good at making sure your reductions are adequate. This is what I've seen in my practice and really helps with throughput. Regarding the fact that these guys were heavily trained, I kind of have a hard time when studies state this. I mean, to me, it's like saying that these doctors are like better than you or something. When you state that as a limitation, it implies it's beyond the reach of your average physician, which just isn't true. Just because you didn't learn it in residency doesn't mean it's unobtainable. These guys had 30 minutes of didactics and 2 hours of hands-on. Oh, and the people enrolling patients, the ones that were 100% specific and sensitive for diagnosing shoulder dislocations, were attendings with a median experience time of 7.5 years. Any of you guys can get through this amount of training. Honestly, I wouldn't call that a limitation of the study. I'd call it a strength.
Thanks, Jacob. So I think overall we discussed some of the limitations of this study, but nonetheless, these results are impressive. And I think that this does build a basis for the argument that ultrasound may be used for dislocation instead of x-ray. So with a little bit of extra training, this can be you. We want to just thank the authors for doing this great study, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more ultrasound gel podcast.